Good evening. Also wanted to remind you of the National Prayer Breakfast, which is on Wednesday. It's 7 o'clock in the morning. There's free break and rolls, and there's also tea and coffee, and it's a live link from Edinburgh. I think it's £10. Don't think that's free, is it? But I'm sure if you come along that and you don't have £10, you'll still get in. Well, have you ever been in a situation where you were just completely lost and then someone knew the way and pointed you, and the sense of relief, the sense of just the anxiety dropping? Well, I'm sure that the disciples were often completely lost when they were with Jesus. The things that he was doing, the things that he was saying, they were trying to catch up with who he was and some of the amazing things that he was saying about himself and about the future. And when they saw him disappearing and said, well, where's he gone now? And they were looking for him everywhere. And then they would find him praying. And I wonder how they approached him. Did they sort of barge in and say, you know, why were you running away? We wanted you to be with us. Or did they sort of creep up and sort of gently sort of shake him and say, you know, we need to go? But they were intrigued, and I'm sure they were watching Jesus' prayer life, and they said on one occasion, teach us how to pray. And forgive me, but I just never fail to be encouraged by that question, because it's like the putting the lights on. It's being able to see clearly the way we can approach God. And we're going to be remembering Christ's death tonight around the communion table. And the cross of Christ is the way that we are reconciled to God. But how do we sustain that relationship with him? And we have this wonderful prayer. And many of us will know it very well. But the question is, do we pray the Lord's Prayer? It's called the Lord's Prayer, but actually it's probably better named the Disciples' Prayer, because the Lord Jesus didn't pray this prayer. The Lord Jesus never sinned. He didn't ask for his sins to be forgiven. It's the Disciples' Prayer. And what it tells us here is that when we pray in the presence of our enemy. I don't know if you've seen the film, The Passion, the Mel Gibson film. It's quite a brutal film. It really focuses on the physical suffering of Jesus on the cross. But while Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, there's a representation of the Satan figure. While Jesus is praying, he is not far away. And the reality is that when we are praying, the Satan is not far away. And the last thing he wants us to do is to be encouraged in our prayer life. So what I want to do tonight is to encourage you in your prayer life. Because we often get discouraged, don't we? We have this view that we are the only ones that find prayer difficult. And there are these other people out there who find it so easy. It's just not true. Everyone that I've spoken to, everyone that I've read about prayer, has said that prayer is a struggle. Prayer is a battle. Prayer is a discipline. So practically, what could we do practically to help us with some really basic things? Some basic things that many Christians don't do. Have we set a time in the day when we're going to pray? If we never set a time, we may never get round to it. And when we have that time, have we got some kind of Bible reading plan so we don't waste that time trying to work out what am I going to read in the Bible? Have we switched off the mobile phone Have we made sure that, you know, if it's early in the morning, that we have a cup of strong coffee to keep us awake? These things may seem very simple, but these things are really helpful. And if we were to think about how we pray during that prayer time, do you think we could pray the Lord's Prayer? Include that as part of our prayer time every day. Martin Luther encouraged that in his teaching on prayer. He said that you should pray the Lord's Prayer every day. But as you come to one of the lines in the Lord's Prayer, you may want to dwell on that particular line. And if our prayer time is a short prayer time, then we won't be able to dwell too long. But if we have a longer prayer time, we might find that one of the lines in the Lord's Prayer just catches our imagination, and we say, yeah, I really want to pray about that. And tonight I want to encourage you to stop and dwell on the line, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. To pray for God's protection. For God's protection for your own life. To pray for God's protection for your friends and family. To pray for God's protection for your church. And is that something that you do? Is that something that you could do more? In the Lord's Prayer, we see here that it says, forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And then after the part on temptation, it then goes on to say, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. So that's telling us that's really important, that forgiveness is really important. And one of the ways that the devil ensnares us is he keeps us in bitterness. And as we learn to forgive others, and as we learn to confess our sins, that is a great way to advance in our prayers. Let's look at the words very specifically. The traditional line is, the traditional translation, which is in the most of the modern translations, is, lead us not into temptation. But am I the only one that says that doesn't really make sense? Lots of people have struggled with that. What does it actually mean? Well, God does not tempt. It says in James chapter 1 that God does not tempt. God doesn't tempt anyone. So if the Bible is very clear that God does not tempt anyone, this prayer cannot mean that God needs to be asked to lead us not into temptation. Because he's never going to lead us into temptation anyway. Remember, this is our Father in heaven. God is going to lead us through temptation and out of temptation, not into temptation. The New Living Translation, I think, has got the words most helpful. Don't let us yield to temptation. So when we're being tempted, don't let us sin. I can go into a lot of technical details tonight, but I'm not going to do that. I think it's important to just get to the main point. The main point is God doesn't tempt anyone. We're not pleading with God not to tempt us. He doesn't tempt us. We're saying, when we are tempted, don't let us fall. When we are tempted, don't let us sin. Now, the word in Greek can either be translated tested or tempted. So, there's a sense in which the circumstances that we go through in life can can be seen from the devil's point of view as a temptation, but can be seen from God's point of view as a test. So I'll give you an example. Sally's aging and argumentative mother, this is no Sally that I know, this is hypothetical, comes to stay with her for 2 weeks. And Sally needs to talk things through with her mum, but faces the challenge of having to stay calm and not to have a blazing row. From God's point of view, these 2 weeks are a test, so that through it, her faith will be strengthened and matured as she grows in the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is self-control. And at the end of the 2 weeks, if she hasn't had a blazing row with her mum, she says, I've passed the test. I'm growing in my faith. From the devil's point of view, these 2 weeks are an opportunity to tempt Sally. And if she snaps at her mother, then she's really discouraged. She's fallen under temptation. And if you look at it from God's perspective, you're saying, when I'm in a testing situation, I don't want to fall. I don't want to sin. If you look at it from the devil's perspective, when the devil is tempting me, I do not want to be ensnared. I do not want to fall for his traps. As one person has paraphrased it, since Satan is tempting me, help me not to fall into the snare of his seductions. The simple application, the practical application, which not every Christian does, is simply, are we praying like that? Are we praying in advance that God will protect us in times of temptation, that God will help us in times of testing? When we are being tempted, it's really important to know that that's not sinning. We can have all kinds of unhelpful thoughts in our mind, but these things are sometimes planted there by the evil one. It says in 1 Corinthians 10 that no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so you can stand up under it. So there's always a way out. There's always a way of escape. And it's important that we have a strategy, or we have an understanding of how the devil works so that we can resist him, so that we can have victory in our Christian life. And I just wanted to offer some verses just to encourage you that you can have victory under temptation. You can have victory under testing. First one is from James chapter 4 and verse 7. It says, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So the way we submit ourselves to God is through prayer. It's through making sure that we spend time reading his word and seeking to live according to his word. That we live lives which are led by his spirit. But when the devil attacks, then we need to have truths that we can bring to mind so that we're not deceived. You see, when the devil attacks a Christian, it's not so much to be seen as a power encounter, because the devil is a fallen angel, a defeated being. He has no ultimate power in that spiritual battle. But he has got limited power to tempt us, to discourage us, to shout at us from the sidelines. But he can't harm us, ultimately. But how he often works is to deceive us. And that's why we really need to have scriptures memorized, I would suggest. We just have these scriptures memorized that we can use in that time of temptation. So, first of all, we've got the issue of who are we? The devil tempted Jesus and, first of all, attacked him at the level of his identity. Three times he said, "If you are the Son of God." And one of the ways the devil predictably attacks a Christian is at the level of our identity. He will cause us to doubt our salvation. He will cause us to doubt that God loves us. He will cause us to doubt that we can live a fruitful Christian life. I just want to read to you from Ephesians chapter 2. Speaking about the power that the devil had in leading us astray, leading us into sin, but then the work of Christ, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. It is by grace you have been saved. That's a wonderful line to remember, that our identity in Christ, our relationship with Christ, is by grace. It's not by performance. So even when we're having a really bad day, even when we've had a week where even we would say, "Yes, I've let God down this week," nothing can separate us from Christ's love because of what Christ has done on the cross. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. So know your identity in Christ. Know that you have authority. You are raised with him, seated with him in the heavenly realms. That's speaking about our position. Our position is as forgiven people who have been forgiven through the death of Christ and have been given new life by the resurrection of Christ. And that can't be taken from us. So we know who we are. We know our identity in Christ. The other thing we need to remind ourselves under temptation, under attack, is the victory of Christ, which helps us to remember that Satan has been defeated. This is from Colossians chapter 2. He forgave all our sins, having cancelled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. That the powers which have railed against God have been defeated by Christ. And so the powers that rail against us have been defeated by Christ. I had an experience just before I was baptized many, many years ago. I'm not going to go into the details of that experience, but it was a very oppressive experience. My mind was oppressed, filled with thoughts that I would not want to share with you tonight publicly. And there are all kinds of horrible thoughts about God, horrible, horrible thoughts about God, and swearing and cursing, and this was in my mind in the days leading up to my baptism. I was completely discouraged, completely alone. I had hardly any Christian friends. I'd just started the Christian walk. And one of my friends who'd done some missionary work in Africa on a gap year, he said, "I've never done this, But I think I know what we're supposed to do here. And he said, we've got to kneel down. We knelt down in my student flat. And he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, I command you to depart. And that oppressive spirit, it was as if it left the room and went out the window. I'm not sure if it went out the window, but it, and the peace of God. And why was that happening? Why, that was happening because I was going to testify to all my friends that Jesus Christ was my Lord. And Satan did not want me to get baptized. And he almost got me to believe that I was sinning. But I wasn't sinning. I was being tempted. I was getting things planted in my mind. And it was a deception. And what my friend did was he proclaimed the victory of Christ. He understood the authority that we had as believers. And he prayed with authority. Now, this is not something that I've had to do very often. But it's good to get the teaching because you may have to do this one day. My friend said, I've never done this before, but I've had the teaching. And we were not expecting to have to do that. So, just want to recap, and almost coming to an end. Know who you are in Christ. Know that nothing can separate you from God's love. Know the victory of Christ. Satan is a defeated foe, has no authority. And be strong in the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6. This is the last scripture I want you to learn, to go away and learn. Ephesians chapter 6. The first line is perhaps the most memorable line. If you can't remember the rest, remember the first line. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. You could pray that. Lord, help me to be strong in you. Lord, you know my weaknesses. You know the things that lead me away from you. Lord, would you deal with the things which you know that I'm weak in? Would you make me strong in these areas? Would you surround me with your protection this coming day? And then the prayer goes through a number of areas which talks about the Roman soldier and all the things that the Roman soldier puts on. It's used as a metaphor for all the different things that we need as Christians to stand firm. I encourage you to go away and to read Ephesians chapter 6. The last thing I want to leave with you is simply this. The reason we're going through the Lord's Prayer is that we will pray. It really is that simple. And quite often, we receive the teaching and we do nothing with it. I really encourage you to use the Lord's Prayer every day and to stop at different points in that prayer and to pray in a bit more detail. To remember God's victory. Remember who you are. Remember God's amazing resources, his amazing power that's available to you, his amazing truth that is there to guard your heart and your mind. And remember to pray for others, not just to pray for yourself. Amen.